Now, annyeonghaseyo, this is Pastor Tan Yul, affectionately known as Pastor Tan. A lot of things have changed since I have been able to take a little bit of a vacation and come back. I am so upset, as some of you may have heard. But you know what? I'm going to say this, and I mean it with conviction on today. I am so blessed to have God in my life. I am so grateful for Him being on the throne. I am so grateful for His Son, His only begotten Son, to come down after 42 generations in the Word of God, to give His life, not only give His life, but to take beatings upon beatings, have psychologically broken in so many different ways, and then to have a crown of thorns on His head, to have his whole entire clothing be mocked and scoffed and torn into pieces for money, to have had His flesh exposed, and to have had concussion after beating after beating, just to inflict upon Himself the sins of this world, the sins of me and you, and then to go and take His cross, and having to go to Golgotha, which is the place where His final, or so people say, and then have assistance from someone to help Him take the cross due to the infirmities that were afflicted on Him. Do you not understand the severity of the whole entire situation? If you do not, yes, read the Word. Look at Passion of the Christ. Look at all these different movies, but know sincerely that He did it for us. He did it so that we can be able to reconnect with God, to have a relationship with Him. I am angry because so many people, and I will say this in high places, have declared this day of March the 31st to be something that is not, and is unholy, unsacred, so big. But it wasn't even the person, because we got to realize the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and we have modern day Sadducees and Pharisees. We have the people that do not recognize Him as Lord and Savior. They will deny Him. They will sit up here and say that He has not been able to live, and then say that He was a different nationality or a different culture. And then they will say this, or they will say that, just to taint what God has given. It's not about Him being of an Anglo-Saxon nature. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God's Son, His only begotten Son, came down, and He came down from heaven to do what no man could do on this earth, which is reconcile us back to God. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. You should be, if you're living for God, you should be angry. And also at the same exact time, you should be at peace. Because you know what time it is. It is war time. It is something that we as the body of Christ cannot afford not to be able to sit there and hear. And I hear in the back of my mind, this is a war cry. This is to do what God says to do and spare not. Speak up and spare not. This is what God has told us to do. This is what we, as the body of Christ, we need to speak up. We need to speak up and say what needs to be said, the uncomfortableness of it all. You need to not recognize what Satan has done, but recognize who God is. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. That's why I'm angry and also I'm at peace, because I know who I live for, which is God, which is His Son, which has the Holy Spirit within me that gives me that fire, that gives me that dunamis, that power shut up in my bones. This is why we get up in the morning. This is why we pray. This is why we fast. This is why we meditate on the Word of God. This is why. We, as the body of Christ, there is no more, well, let's, no, it is time. Time to wake up, time to rise up, time to see what has been said and know what is to come. We need to. It is no more. I am in, I am out, I am serving the enemy for these different situations or these different ways. I am in only when it suits me, only when it satisfies my flesh or when I get monetary funds. Time out. This is not a game. We have our lives to sit here and honestly tell the truth. And honestly be there and do what we need to do. Now, I must say this is that for me, and I looked at this and I know that a lot of people, I used to say this a lot, Easter for a resurrection day. But then when I delved into the whole entire matter, it made sense to say resurrection day. Or as some people have already recognized, Passover. But you see, the Bible was also written in Arabic, Aramaic, Hebrew, and later on, there's starting to become more paganistic or more deities, lower gods, as they say, or as I say, demonic. Deities that they come in and they sift in and they bring in so much confusion to the body of Christ. So for Easter, a lot of people have associated it with Isis or the one that they call for Easter. That's pretty much what it is. She's a deity of the reproduction. And she's a pretty much a fertility god. And they would have eggs and all these different things because they would worship the deity. But also at the same exact time, the close association with these eggs or fertility. And then you have, you know, the Easter Bunny and all these different things. But for me, Resurrection Day means that God's son, his son, his only begotten son, got up. And what do you mean? No, when he died on a Friday, and you can read the word of God, and the earth shook, and the sun turned black, and the soldier sat there, and he's, and when God said, you know, son, Jesus said, it was finished. It is finished. It's telling people that he did what no other man could do, and that we can be able to get reconciled with God. And when he said it is finished, it is the fortune of the prophecies and the prophetic of where he's been talked about from Genesis all the way to the New Testament. And there was a period of time, and people don't talk about this period, between Malachi, which is the last chapter of the Old Testament, and Matthew, which is the New Testament Bible, and in the book. But you don't hear from Malachi. From Malachi to Matthew is a period of time of so much quietness. Do you understand that the peace that should go over you because of so much going on, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. It's only mattering what God is saying. And then at the same exact time, I had to understand God is working in all things, even behind the scenes, and we don't see it all because he doesn't want us to see. He wants us to believe in the midst of everything. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. I had to honestly have, you know, honestly say in myself, Lord, I'm sorry, because I was believing God for certain things at a certain time, but I had to be patient for what I was believing God for. And during that time, you know, I was stressing, I was doing this and that, but I wasn't believing God like I was supposed to. Now, y'all don't hear me. See, sometimes we need to be open and honest about a lot of different things. And I was so upset. I was so hurt. I had so many multiple things going on that I didn't trust what I thought, what I knew to be true, which was God. Now, I'm going to say this. Trust God no matter what. Yes, I sinned and I said, Lord, please forgive me. But I'm trusting in him because he has a track record that no one else can be able to match. Man, Pastor, how could you? I said, because I'm human and I look at situations, I look at circumstances, and I started to put a timer on what God was doing. But at the same exact time, we shouldn't have no limits when it comes to God. You shouldn't put God in a box. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Man, Pastor, and teachers and preachers and, you know, all these different people. We need to stop putting limits on God. We need to stop sitting up here and getting distracted for what the enemy wants to say or do for us. And then we get all like, oh, this is what God is saying. No, we need to start having the Beatitudes, which is patience. Man, when you ask for patience, it's in Galatians, if you ask for patience, it gives you a lot. And then at the same exact time, I mean, love, joy, peace. But when I was patient and peace is what I needed. And when I went on a mini, like a few days off, I was like, God was showing me how to take that time. How to be at peace with us, certain things that is beyond my control. But at the same exact time, he knows and he's going to deal with it. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. And so many people want to sit here and say, well, you know, Pastor, you're not reading from, you know, he got up and all these different things. And that is important. I'm not negating what Jesus has done for us. That is not what I'm doing. But I want you to look at it from a different view. He played the long game. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Because when he passed away, you saw the husk get transferred from the cross. And a rich man went and put him in his own tomb that he made for himself. And during all of this transfer, Jesus went down to hell and he got the keys from Satan, and he went and conquered death also. And then at the same exact time, he brought the people that was from Genesis all the way till he was passed on, that was in pretty much the bosom of Abraham. There was a pocket where they were living and waiting on him. And he went and he took those individuals. And you saw what you see now in the Word of God. And you see the dead rising and coming back and coming to their homes. And then later on, they go and they become caught up with Jesus. But it was the fact that when he got back up, Mary and Martha would go to the tomb and take the oil and, you know, be able to give their reverence and due diligence to Jesus. And when the angel had came, and yes, he disturbed the hearts and the minds of the guards, but he should have already disturbed your heart and your mind on today. And what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean is that if you have any encounters like I have with God and his servants, you should have a mindset of humility on today. Man, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean to this day that so many people don't realize that when you have an encounter with God, it has to humble you. It has to give you a sense of who you are, which is the creation, because he's the creator. And give you a sense of just being humbled. Like, you don't know the magnitude of who God is until he steps into your life. He steps into your life in a way that you get to see everything. And you start realizing how small you are. Kind of like Job, amen. And you honestly sit there and you say, Lord, please forgive me because I consider myself so big that I am not where I'm supposed to be. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. I consider myself not knowing everything. And I don't care if I'm a pastor, a prophetess. I don't care if you're an evangelist, teacher, preacher. You ain't gonna know everything. But what I do know for this is to be true is that Jesus died on that cross on a Friday, and he was in the tomb on Saturday, but his husk was there, but not his soul, not his spirit. And when he came back on Sunday, when he got up, the graves were open. And you started to see other people that were of him, that died in him, that was trying to do the due diligence in God's house and did what was supposed to be done and conquered death and hell just for us. Then you need to be sitting there and be humble. Be angry at the ones that sat there and desecrated his name and said all manner of evil against this one, because he is innocent and he has done nothing wrong but to do his father's work. Now we need to get up and be at peace to know who God is. Angry because we know what is going on and what time it is and that the war is imminent. It has been more imminent now than ever. And we as the body of Christ need to be prepared. We have no more time to sit here and lackluster and thinking that God is not having his son to return. Oh, he is coming. And soon, very soon. And I don't know about you, but even though it is April the 1st here in South Korea, do you understand that whole entire week I was feeling of peace wash over me? And it was something that no man could give me. No woman, no man, no child, no one can give me. But it was just a peace knowing that when Saturday and Sunday came, and it was Palm Sunday, and it was just the beauty of it, just to hear it, just to listen to it. And I know that we get busy, but I would listen to gospel or I would put on the word of God while I am cleaning my house. And it is something to behold when we sit here And we are just meditating on the word. I don't know about you, but it is something about just scriptures running through my head and about how God's son was able to go to Golgotha and do what I can honestly say at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was like, let this bitter cup pass before thee. But then he said, not my will, but thine will be done. That has to humble you. That has to sit there. And honestly, I don't know about you, but I'm humbled. I am so flat-faced and on my face because his son sat there. He knew what he needed to do. And it was huge. But he sat there. He said, I will put myself second and put your whole entire way of thinking first. I'm going to put every living soul that is going to be on this earth first. I am going to put my whole, he could have called it off. He could have sat there and he had so many angels on his side that he could have called it off. But he thought about me and you. He thought about all of us that will be in sin and give us the opportunity to live for God. It's deeper than what we think. It's deeper than what we know. It is so much deeper than what you say. It is so much deeper. You can sit here and I can read the word of God to you. But at the same exact time, do you feel it? Do you feel when I turn the pages? Do you feel when I tell you and I cry aloud and I tell you what's going on and how God has been able to affect me? Do you feel it? Do you honestly sit here and tell yourself, God, you have done marvelous work in my life. And have you had any gratitude towards that? It's not just about the story. But it's the essence behind it. And it's the thought that someone else wanted me first and put me first. And it wasn't just, it wasn't just, I'm an afterthought. I'm something else. His son laid it down for us, his life. And you don't even think about where you go and you lay your head, or where is your next meal, or how your children are doing, or how's your spouse doing, because he has it all in control. You don't even do a second take. Only until all of that is taken away from you do you realize how small and insignificant you can become. And I don't want to think like that if I don't sit there and I don't sit there and I don't tell God and his son and the Holy Spirit, thank you sincerely. I understand we go through the word of God, but when have you stopped and honestly saw everything in your mind of what Jesus had to go through, of what God had to go through, the shame, the embarrassment? When we sat there and the kings and Samuel, how people honestly sat there and they sat there and said, we want to be like everyone else. We want to have a man over us instead of God. Do you understand how that feels? Do you understand that you were replaced? That you replaced God? That you replaced his son, that you replaced everything that's within what God has already ordained in us, and we are taking a back seat because we think it's cool. We think it's awesome. We think. But then another human being that walks on this earth, that is part of God, walks on this earth and says, I will love them no matter what and treat them with respect, even though I did not get that respect. Y'all, my God, I don't care. I don't care how much we read the word of God if we don't have it to pertain to our lives. That we don't sit there and recognize when we have done wrong. And United States of America, when that president has said what he has said and has to try to be able to replace Jesus and what he has done and his significance to our lives, you need to be angry and peaceful, because you know what time it is. It is time, full time, to do it, thus says the Lord, and do it in due diligence. And start now, ahora. In Spanish, it means now. It is so high tide. And what do you mean, pastor, when prophetess? Why do you say it's now? It's high time. I say high tide because when you have seen as much as I have in the body of water that we are covered here in South Korea, I have seen tide come in and I have seen it cover multitudes of land and multitudes of just sandy beaches where I was standing at one end and my family, we would be covered by the time that we got to shore and where we were designated to stand. And I would say it covered the whole entire land by the time that the sun was going down. And the limits of where a person can be able to stand without getting wet, oh my God, it was limitless. I mean, and that's how God's love is and his son's love towards us. Ooh, y'all don't. If you have ever stood where the ocean and the beach comes in and you see the waves and you see the water moving back and forth. And in certain ones, it is hot. And in certain ones, it is deadly cold, depending on the time of seasons and locations. But as those waters are coming in and out, so is how his God is and his son is washing us. Y'all don't hear me though. Man, that's a lot. No, the deep is calling the deep on today. Pastor, you didn't give us any scripture. And I'm gonna say this. Go look it up. Go look up the scriptures. Go look up the scriptures. Well, I don't have any scriptures, Pastor. What am I supposed to look up? Look up resurrection. Look up Passover. Look up in the New Testament when they're talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and how he walked with us and how he talked with us and how he gave his life for us. Man, Pastor, you just go look it up. Matthew 26 chapter. The plot to kill Jesus. Go and look it up at the Last Supper. Go look it all up. Go look it up. Because you don't understand the innocence that his son had, that he had for us, the love he had for us. You wouldn't just say a demigod's name. You would say Jesus. Jesus did it all. And to all, to him I owe. He has left a crimson stain, and he was a sacrificial lamb. And when he got up, he became the ambassador that we need, the priest that we need. He became everything from the Genesis to Matthew, the New Testament, everything we needed. And we needed him in a way that nobody else does. in a way that no other. Everybody mocks us, but he has been the original blueprint from the very beginning. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. He has been the original one that has been in the beginning. And yet and still, we don't want to recognize who God is and his son. We don't want to recognize when we have the real original in front of us. We don't want to recognize it, because if we recognize it, we have to be able to deal with our sin. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. We have to recognize our sin. And with that, because we did not recognize what God has given us in the first place, now we are reaping the whole repercussions of what we've done. And his son, oh, his begotten son. So I don't care what no one else says. You can say whatever you want to say. But I'm telling you, my God's son, Jesus, Elohim El Shaddai, El Rapha, Jesus. He is the reason for us to be here. He is the one that sat there and came all the way from heaven just to be able to do what God says do. And it is chronicalized in so many different ways, in that a man found the Ark of the Covenant. And he also found his blood, and he took it back to the lab. And then he sat there and he was like, wait a minute. Analyze the blood. And as he analyzed the blood, they saw that this one had only the chromosomes of a mother and no father. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit was able to sustain that child through God, and knowing full well who he was? Oh my God, and his background. The people didn't know that were testing his blood. But later on, when they found out who was the blood about, all you could do was have the gas and the awe and the woo and the, where did you get this? And this was Jesus' blood, is what the researcher had, the archaeologist had said. And all they could do was bow down and cry inside of the lab. Do you understand the power behind all of these different things? All of these, I don't know if you have any personal testimony, but if you do, type it in the comments. Reach out to me. Let me know what you think on the holiest week of everything. And do you understand? To me, April the 1st still brings in more joy, more peace, more anger, and more defiance against what people are saying against our God and against his son. Oh, I don't know about you. Go do it. Go research God and Jesus for yourself, and you see him throughout the whole entire pages of the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's not a background figure. He's been there the whole entire time. When are we going to realize that? When are we going to recognize who Jesus is for who he is, which is our Savior, which is the one that saved the earth and saved us? When are we going to recognize that? When are we going to sit there and honestly say, he is our Savior? We should recognize who he is. And why are we getting fought day, tooth, and nail about who he is? Stop giving recognition to all these different deities and all these different demigods. Go and talk and read for yourself who God is. Yes, I can sit there and I can give you the word and I can show you what God, who God is. But who is God to you? Who is he to you? Who is his son to you? Is he some mere mortal? No, he is of God. And he is a man that has been able to walk and also have God features with the whole entire. He's been able to walk with us, talk with us, have the infirmities, have the scrapes and the scrapples and the different proportions, having to go to the synagogues and go and teach about what God has been doing, and having his mom and his dad scold him. And then at the same exact time, having the knowledge and the wisdom to understand that these are not my parents. I am doing what God has said to do. Y'all need to understand there's a different level. There's a different tone. There's a different deafness into God. There's a different weakness and a meekness into Jesus and his son. And also at that being his son, that Jesus, his son, and God, his father, there's a difference. There's a uniqueness. There's a depth that we haven't even been able to ascertain yet. And y'all want to sit here and think I'm just going to dip my, when I go into the water, I'm just going to dip my toes. No, you got to get submerged into this. It is a lifestyle. It is a changing, a shift in your life. It is not just, oh, I'm just going to dip my toe in it and think, oh, okay, I'm going to do it next week and the next week. No, this is something that you have to do every day. You have to kill your flesh every day. And I mean that figuratively. That when your flesh is trying to do this or do that, you have to kill it. You have to sit there and say, no, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to say this. And do you understand? When you're denying your flesh, you are doing exactly what God and Jesus wants us and the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We got to get into a point where Jesus, the Son of God, the one that we know has walked on this earth, and soon to return, we need to live like it. We need to act like it. We need to understand that he gave his life, and we shouldn't sit there and say, don't let him have wasted every blood, every breath, every drop of blood that came out of his, every sweat that came out of his brow, everything that he had to go through. We shouldn't have to sit here and say anything, but do what God says do and live like it. Even when people do us wrong, forgive them. Even when things go wrong, forgive it. Even when your body, your mind, and your heart, honestly, oh my God, some days I have to sit here and I have to talk to God honestly and say, God, what is going on? Why is this happening? And honestly, he would tell me that people have gotten to a point now where he is just a tool for people's success. That he is just put in a box and God is not in a box. Jesus should not be put in a box. And stop sitting up here and saying he's just a prophet. He is not Jesus' son. Jesus as God's son is not a prophet. He is our savior. Act like it. He is the one that has been able to come through 42 generations from Genesis all the way to the New Testament just so that he can live for 33 years and then have the ministry to learn and know of God. And then at the same exact time, oh my God, to die and be then resurrected. That is who God is. And if you would have stayed in the grave, we would not have this conversation. If he would have stayed in the grave, or he would have not gotten on the cross, do you understand? We would not have this story. And oh, people say, oh, it's a story. No, it's not just a story. It is life. It is abundance of life. It is humility. It is of kindness. It is of gentleness. It is of faith. It is of hardship, turmoil. Oh my God. It is of slap, kick in your face reality. This is what it is. And that the love that he shared for us in this world cannot compare, cannot contrast to what we know to be true, is that he loved us enough to get up off that cross and His soul went to hell just to be able to conquer death for us so that we won't have to see death. Y'all don't. And when I say he got off the cross, his soul went to hell during this process and this time to do the unthinkable. And I don't know about you. Let me reword it. Let me kind of clarify. His soul, when his body was transferred to the tomb, he was doing battle even then. And some of us don't even know how to battle even for a few hours, let alone 3 days. We don't even know how to be able to pray. We don't even know how to be able to fast. We don't even be able to know how to meditate. We don't even know how to be able to control our own selves. If we don't sit there and start seeing the examples that are set before us, and Jesus was that example, and he was our Savior, and we have to be able to sit there and give him his just due. What else am I to say? Seek for yourself who Jesus is. Get a personal relationship with get with the Father, which is God, and Jesus, which is his Savior, and also our Savior, excuse me, and also be able to see the blood and where. And I kept saying, where did the blood go? When he died, where did the blood stop? Did the blood stop? No, it didn't stop. When Jesus was ascended to heaven, he is still flowing. It is still being able to flow and see mercy and grace over us. And the reason why I say that is because God, his Son, came and his blood was able to wash away so much of the sin that we have to go through when we accept him in our lives. Y'all, man, I can't even talk because I am angry at what people have declared, but I'm at peace because I know the war that we have to fight. Get prepared. Be prepared so you don't have to get prepared. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Get prepared so you don't have to be prepared. Amen. This world is not our home, and we need to be able to start realizing that. Now, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please go to It Is Written at Afro Sister Prophet. But also at the same exact time on Facebook, It Is Written, LATONYAULLOA. Also, I want to say this. If you have not accepted Jesus, don't even know about Jesus, you need to go into the scriptures. You need to be able to go to Romans, and that's a start, okay? Romans 10, 9 through 13. Read the scriptures and accept. Go on your hands and knees immediately. Accept him as your Savior and let God come into your life. Let Jesus come into your life so that the Holy Spirit can come in and dwell. And that sincerely you ask for forgiveness, because this world is getting wickeder and wickeder. There is no more bounds anymore. Do you understand? We are living in the days as such as Noah, where people are doing anything that they want because they don't want to live by what God is saying. And I'm going to say this, and I don't understand how so many people can not recognize who God is, but I recognize his Son, and I recognize the love that he has for us. So now, no matter what, please understand, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And we need to be the light in the dark places. Amen. Now, if you want to find me, I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Samsung, and other major platforms such as YouTube. My YouTube will start coming up a whole lot more. Please, if you need to leave, please leave me a 5-star rating. And also at the same exact time, please understand there is a lot more that's going to be coming up in the coming weeks, months, even sometime during this year. Understand that I will try my best to keep consistently giving you the word of God. And also at the same exact time, seek him out for yourself. Start turning away from what you have known to be good or true. And you know the sin is sin. Start turning towards God and changing your lifestyle. Because I'm telling you right now, it says it in Matthew 25th chapter, and the 40th and the 41st verse. And it says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. 41 verse, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and the angels. A lot of us will sit here, and when they were talking about how God was sitting here and how his son Jesus was talking, and it was talking about the faithful, it was talking about the judgment of God, and it was talking about how Jesus was talking, and he was talking about how people will be cast to the left-hand side and depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You have already been cursed into the everlasting fire. That was for Satan or the devil and his angels. Some of us need to realize that there is a narrow path that we must go. It is not always going to be easy, but we need to start taking off some things that are not of God and do what he says do, no matter what. And even if this broadcast has stopped or starting getting halted or anything interrupted, I'm going to let you know this right now. For God I live, for God I die. I'm not going out any other way but the way that God wants me to live. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to cost us our very lives for putting out this word of God. Get to that point. Know this point. Because we're going to be just like Jesus. Do you understand? The world did not love him. How do you think they're going to be with you? How do you think so many Christians around the world are getting persecuted on a daily basis? We are just now at the beginning or the cusp of what's going to happen. Be prepared, saints of the Most High. And thank you so much for listening. If you have just heard me now at the beginning, thank you. If you have just searching through the podcast just to stop and pause and hear what I've said, thank you. For the ones that have been with me from day one, thank you. Because I'm telling you, it is getting to that point that the word of God has become saturated with the world and has become tainted. And I would say this is because people don't want to listen to the word of God anymore. And it grieves me and it grieves the Holy Spirit. You want to learn and know who God is every day, even in conversations with yourself or your children or your spouse. He should be prevalent in your life and not just a second thought. I thank you for listening. Hold God fast. Hold his son fast. I thank God for Resurrection Day. I thank him for his son. Without him, there would be no us. And there would be no forgiveness. There would be no connection with God. Without Jesus, we would not have the light and we would not have the blood that we need to be recognized. I thank you and I thank you so much for listening. Kenosamida, Anyo.